Hi, Michael.
Hey, Peter.
It's just you and Ken and I so far.
Okay.
Maybe we could till Musikowski sent in his regrets. Oh, you probably saw that.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of in between those two cities, so.
Right. And
so, Michael, I have a question. What do you think of this ADMS?
ADMS?
That's what it's called. It's a European standard. Very similar to OOR.
Oh.
Can you put
it?
Asset description metadata scheme? No.
Can you put a link onto the chat?
I haven't heard of it, actually. Common metadata
vocabulary. It came up at, Jean Holm mentioned it in one of her talks back some time ago. It only just came out, and it's like in April or something. Jean mentioned it, and at the time she mentioned it, it hadn't come out yet.
Can you put a link onto the chat, Ken?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia article. Standardized metadata vocabulary created by the European Union's Interoperability Solutions for European Public Administrations Program. Help publishers of standards content to document what the standards are about and where they can be found on the web. So it's kind of like a Dublin core for standards.
Yeah, it makes use of other standards. I mean,
it reads a Dublin core and friend of a friend, a B-card. Yeah.
Right, so it's basically at the level of linked data.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a bunch of properties. And I think in most cases, they're just properties from these other standards. Which is kind of nice. Picked up things from other standards, put them together, and say, "Oh, here's our standard."
Right. You have to take a closer look at that. I'll be at the meeting next week because they're the home of like the ISO 11179, which they would argue has overlaps with this too. So I'll get their perspective.
Very much so.
Yes.
What's interesting is that there are apparently implementations of it. So it's not just theoretical, not just a proposal. I mean, it's actual real systems out there that will do the basically repository management, and it's federated too. That's another important aspect. It's fully federated.
Let's see. Get the names in the project. Don't recognize anybody.
Robin Cover is in it.
Oh, yeah, there. Okay. Yeah.
He's at Oasis. I've been working with him. In fact, he's the one that reminded me of it. I haven't really remembered Gene Holm mentioning it.
Yeah, definitely take a look.
Yeah, it's the systems that are interesting. And it's not a very strong ontology. But
right, right.
It's having real systems makes a big difference.
I guess that is kind of one extreme of, of what an OR would be like to just not just federated, but it's just totally, all it is a metadata vocabulary, and there's no other commitment to any kind of, CRUD functionality.
Right.
So I guess one of the challenges we've always discussed is, how do we balance the federation with having an actual repository with CRUD functionality, and then additional functionality as well, but kind of balancing the federation with that need for having a kind of a software infrastructure, not just metadata.
Okay, Todd well, just joined. Yeah, Todd just joined us, so maybe we have a quorum. Ken, would you like to chair since you arrived first?
Oh, no, sure.
Yeah. Okay, and then we can sort of get started.
Okay. Welcome to everyone. There are no new members at this point. So the key discussion is our list of priorities and most critical tasks at hand. All right, or am I?
Yeah, that's sort of stock item.
Any action items? No action items?
Yeah. I guess if you go below 40BF.
There also says ideas.
Yeah, 40BF. I generally move the agenda ideas down to the agenda and proceedings section. So,
if we go to that link, number one is systematically engage other communities, and I guess ADMS would fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly because they're developing systems. And if we could build on what they're doing, I think it would really be a big advantage to us. Todd, I don't know if you know about ADMS.
No, I just saw your note there. I've not heard of it before.
It was brought up before. Jean Holm mentioned it in one of her talks.
From time ago. Lots of years. Open years. Oh,
yeah.
Lots of connection canon, you know.
It passed by me at the time because ADMS didn't exist yet. So it got like, you know, eventually this.
Who's a sponsor? Is there a sponsoring organization or people? European Union or?
Yeah, I believe it's European Union. Something in Europe, definitely not U.S.
Yeah, check the Wikipedia article. It gives a nice summary and pointers to the project site.
I'm at the project site. It does have the European Commission, the European flag on it.
Mm-hmm.
What does ICT stand for?
Information and communication technologies.
Okay. And do they have any products here? Or do they have download? I assume it's just XML stuff?
This is, it's linked data.
No, but the metadata schema itself is represented, RDF. Okay, there it is.
No, their intention is for it to be linked data. They do have a UML diagram on the Wikipedia article.
Well, I see an RDF schema. They have SCOS. They have XML schema. They have a specification for a conceptual model. Oh, okay. That's what this
is. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Michael, have you investigated this to any extent? In particular, have they followed the which ISO standard is that? That's your favorite?
So it's not my favorite. So I was just saying, at the ISO, the SC32 meeting next week, I'll find out a bit more because that working group 2 deals with 11.179, which does metadata registry, and there's a couple of other ones that are related. So I'll find their perspective on the whole thing.
Okay.
I'm not excited about this very much at all. Ken brought it to our attention today.
Thank you, Ken.
They do have a repository, Notion. Data blast modification, data creation, semantic asset repository. I guess they do consider repository aspects as well as registry. What's kind of missing, I think, is what happens in an actual repository and a course in standards is the staging or continually changing status of one of these assets. And also the fact that there's sort of different conceptual levels. In the discussion I had with Robin about this, the issue is that there's this FRVR standard that comes from the bibliographic community, and this ADMS doesn't have much of that.
They're just focused on that one aspect of describing the resource.
Yeah, they right. They treat resources just as discrete entities. In fact, there's rather more complex relationships among them, and not all of them are actual entities in the sense of being in a repository.
Yes.
So it's actually more complex than what they're showing there. On the other hand, it's definitely a good schema, a good start. And since they're real systems based on it, that support it, there's definitely something we could make use of.
I'm looking at their conceptual model, and what they included in their zip file is an EAP file, which comes from Enterprise Architect. That's interesting.
I mean, the other thing, too, is, like we discussed this before with OMD, it's just kind of a matter of, collecting the different metadata ontologies that people are coming up with and trying to keep them harmonized to some extent. Or they're just kind of knowing what they are. So then whenever we commit to, what OR's ontology metadata would be, it would be clear, is it importing these other ones, or if it's not, what are the relationships? And I think that's kind of one of the other things that's notable about this ADMS is again, it's primarily this metadata vocabulary, metadata ontology.
Have we run it through OOPS yet?
I say we just found out about.
Oh, okay.
Really found out about
I'll try. I'll get the stuff and I'll run it through OOPS this morning before I forget. Good find. So we haven't heard anything from Silk and Yang?
Till sent his regrets.
So Till's moving to a different university, so there's going to be a bit of turmoil for a little while.
Is the group that he was working with going to stay at Bremen, or are they moving with him, or is that whole effort dissolving?
I guess that's the
turmoil,
right?
Some are moving with him, but. I mean, others are, I'm not sure about the software team. I don't really know exactly how tied they were to Raymond.
Right. But Otto Hubble is still operational?
It exists. Is it operational? I was having some trouble with it the other day.
It was run out of Bremen, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's there. No, yeah, no, you can browse it. I was having trouble I think people are having trouble uploading to it recently. Because I'm doing an ontology course, a graduate course this semester, and for the projects, what they have to do is do ontology reviews. They have to do 3 ontology reviews, and part of the review involves uploading it to a repository.
Oh. Sounds interesting.
Oh, nice.
And I think they're having some trouble uploading this. No, it seems to be working for browsing anyway.
Oh, okay. What's next on the agenda, Ken?
Stig and I'm going to post a little bit about FRBR. FRBR is another standard, which is actually curious. It's very modest about claiming to be a data model, and yet it's not particularly hard to translate it to UML. And it has some good ideas that might make sense for us.
What does the acronym stand for?
That one? Good question.
It's crazy. I mean, they would tell people is what the acronym stands for.
Functional requirements for bibliographic records. There's a Wikipedia site, which actually explains it pretty well.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
If you get your class to review this ADM stuff, you might want to point out that at Core Engineering Practices, I'm looking at their RDF file, and their classes fail to have the descriptions or definitions, though their object properties are nicely described.
What I do is doing with these classes, they are doing kind of like a literature survey, looking through all the papers that people have written about ontologies. You know, our papers on ontology was kind of like the star paper, and using them
in one
papers.
In one semester?
But three papers.
Oh, that's all. Oh, it'd be nice.
Yeah. If you look at FRBR, there's a little diagram at the Wikipedia site. This is yet another community that would be useful for us. They have these ideas, work expression manifestation item.
Oh, really? Work expression. That's interesting.
Four notions.
This notion of expression in the terms of engineering artifacts had come up in another project I was working on. And unfortunately, I did not have a good argument against using that notion. I don't have to like it, but unfortunately, it seems to make sense. And now that you're saying it's being used also here, unfortunately, it lends weight to its use.
Yeah, here, although not in ADMS. To give you an idea how this would relate to OR, you think of work as being an ontology. Expression would be, say, one version of the ontology. Manifestation would be one language that you express this in. So, for example, OWL or RDF or UML, each of those would be a different manifestation of the version of the ontology. And item would be actual copy. So you might have one copy on one repository and another copy on another repository. So those would be separate items.
What was that last distinction you said about different copies in different places? How was that?
You might redundantly have a copy of, say, the OWL ontology on one repository as well as on another one.
Well, I understand, but what was the notion used to express that or describe that? The copy?
Item. Item is the last item. One.
Okay. So manifestation of information object.
Yeah, I mean, in FRBR, they're thinking in terms of books. So the item for them would be the actual physical book you hold in your hand.
Right. You've got engulfed by the ocean of interest in objects or information, something or other, that manifestation on a drive somewhere.
Yeah. For us, we don't think in terms of actual, you know, physical copy, but that's what they would think in terms of. And,
okay.
And so they would be interested in whether an item was a signed copy. That's the sort of thing they'd look at. But anyway, I don't think that's particularly useful for us unless, well, it might actually, if we're thinking in terms of Federation.
Yeah, of course. No, the notion of different copies can be crucial, especially when things get out of sync, when your configuration management isn't working too well.
Right. So anyway, so that's a nice little diagram there. It kind of fits really well with OOR ideas. Anyway, so I'm having my students work on this. They're building a database based on these ideas, and we're populating it.
Relational database can, or knowledge base?
Oh, these students aren't ready for a knowledge base. No, they're just a relational database.
Oh.
I wish I could. You could do that. But anyway, it's we're populating it with the OASIS standards.
Which OASIS standard?
Which?
Yeah. Is that the OASIS you broke up? I'm sorry. Which OASIS standard?
All of them.
Oh, okay. Got it.
All OASIS standards. Anyway, another thing that comes up, of course, is that standards are often modularized. So it's, the standard is made up of parts. So this would get into modular ontologies. So,
For OOR, we have all these different metadata description schemas, or whatever you want to call them. Are we suggesting that we somehow want to integrate them, merge them, support a particular one, do our own thing? I think not the latter.
Well, the question is, what should we do? Yeah.
No. We would have requirements for our metadata ontology, and reuse as much as possible, and clearly demonstrate that what's out there does not meet a requirement if necessary.
Okay, do we have clear requirements for the metadata? I know we have some. I don't think they're complete.
Yeah, I don't think they're to the degree of detail that we could make an evaluation to say, this is the appropriate ontology that we need to use at this time.
Is there anyone at the university who we could subvert to find some students to do an analysis of all these various schemas to see what commonality is or isn't?
Yeah, I don't have any resources right now.
Yeah.
Right. That wouldn't be a task that would be easy to give to a student.
No. You don't treat them like serfs?
Yeah, well, students want to graduate, you know, and get a job.
They do? What world do they live in?
They're very keen on having good things to put into their resume.
Good thing. Oh. So much for education. Okay.
Don't let me get into that.
Don't. I understand, Ken. Obviously, this is a job for your university.
So what is the action? How do we propose to accomplish this?
What is this?
How do we determine the extent to which these other standards satisfy the requirements for OR?
Well, I guess then the first precursor question is, what are the requirements? As Michael just pointed out, we really haven't completed that job. So I guess our first task would be to write down the requirements a little more completely.
Right, make requirements for our metadata ontology, not just not software requirements.
Ontology, right, exactly, requirements. Yes. Yeah. What do we need to describe things in an ontology repository?
Right, and we've had a few workshops on that in the past, but they were mainly, I think the result of those workshops was more the recognition that we can reuse a lot of what, say, OMB has, et cetera, but we never really progressed to the next step, which was to say, well, what do we really need from something like OMB, and what extensions do we need to make?
Well, then it would seem that we should have a hackathon just to write out the requirements.
Yeah, we could do that.
Look, but I thought we already had agreed on the short-term focus, which is all sort of captured under 40BI. This was our agreement in June that hopefully in 3 months, which has passed, that we will try to accomplish these three things, which we haven't. And I think we should still stay focused on those three things and implement them.
Right. Well, that is one of those three things is the metadata.
Exactly. Yes. No, not just the metadata, but also the metadata that all instances of OORs will try to adopt and implement into their instance or their implementation. Since we are now talking about separate implementations rather than one single implementation. So those are the three touch points we agreed we would work on. I personally think we've talked enough about requirements. More than enough.
Well, we talked a lot about software requirements, but not like, kind of tests to determine whether or not OMV, together, ADMS, is enough for what we need. It wouldn't quite be enough because we also wanted to incorporate some aspects of like what will be coming out of OntoIOP. I think that's also necessary, and that's something that's not covered by these other approaches.
Yeah, Peter, 40BK, says explicitly a shared approach to ontology metadata. And if we're going to have a shared approach, we better know what we're going to share.
Exactly, yes.
So why does that preclude having such a workshop just to hammer out the requirements, and then if we've done that sufficiently, we should be able to identify one of these existing, schema, or maybe a couple of them that have to be merged to meet that need.
No, I'm not against it. I'm just repeating this saying that we should stay focused, trying to deliver these few bullets, whatever it takes. I mean, if a workshop is what it takes, then we do a workshop. If a hackathon is what it takes, we'll do a hackathon or whatever.
Well, is there some consensus that we'd like to reuse as much as possible rather than going developing something?
Yes. I don't know. I can't say if there's consensus, but I strongly agree with that statement.
I don't think there was any objection. Actually, every time we talked about it, we did say OMP is the sort of basis to get started on. But so far, none of the OOR instances, whether it's Colore or BioPortal or Sandbox or SoCop or AutoHub, actually has a module that in which sits OMP that people can fine tune or tweak or extend.
Right. For any of those examples, those particular instances you just listed, Peter, do they have they externalized their metadata schema? That is, can they just plug in a different one and things work, or is there a tight coupling?
I think, I mean, as far as I know, for BioPortal is tight coupling. AutoHub are probably the people that comes closest to thinking of doing one, but I don't think they're there yet. Are they? Michael might know.
No, I don't think so. No.
So
and then with Colore, because it's common logic, I wouldn't be able to use an actual OWL ontology for the metadata. We're going to be using AutoIOP as soon as it gets standardized.
And AutoIOP probably will see its instantiation in AutoHub.
Yeah.
Most of, at least.
But in terms of
metadata
for Colore would be expressed in using, the DOLE, the distributed ontology language that's coming out of AutoIOP.
Okay. Well, how you express it and what you're expressing are two different things to some extent. But still, I think there doesn't seem to be any clear direction as to which of these schema can or can't be used or how they might be used. Even if you have the infrastructure, there's a plug in, whatever you need to plug in. Peter, you're pretty close to the BioPortal people. Do they have any interest in, I'm calling it externalizing, but we could say more like decoupling their metadata infrastructure from the rest of BioPortal?
First of all, I need to correct your impression. I'm not close to the BioPortal people much anymore, and I feel I'm further and further away when they are more and more focused in delivering BioPortal for their user community, more so than delivering a sort of generic repository software for the rest of the world. That supposedly was our goal, and their goal is to deliver value for the biomedical informaticists. So I think our targets are further and further apart if we look at now versus, let's say, a year ago or 2 years ago. They're very focused.
Well, okay, you're physically closer than we are. Okay.
That's true. I'm physically closer.
Okay. I understand that they're taking a product-focused approach to it. I guess there's no way we can spin it to demonstrate that there's a value for making this decoupling or implementing such a decoupling strategy.
I mean, if anything, we will be the people who would do it. They are probably of the mindset that they need to deliver value, and if the architecture works so far, they're probably not going to make major changes there. I think they also might be more focused because of the resources they have, which starts to seem more limited than they used to have. I noticed like Trish Wessel is no longer there.
Oh, where is she now?
San Diego, I think.
Oh.
So she used to answer all the BioPortal sort of user support questions. Now they're out of that person. So the community plus the developers are actually responding to support questions.
Is she on a faculty in San Diego or?
I can't tell you. But I'm noticing this just because her email has changed. from penn.edu to ucsd.edu or something. So back to Ken. Yeah, keep moving because we have a major issue coming up next.
Yeah, I have to leave at 11 too.
Okay.
continuing. Is there anything else concerning the priorities and most critical tasks at hand that we can address today?
No, those are sort of stock, and I think they're still valid for all of us.
Okay. So I guess the next issue is then review our priorities and focus. And then scheduling of OR events.
No. You're missing 40B0, which is, I think, needs discussion.
SOCOP OR issue?
Yes. Right.
Oh, SOCOP, you moved that up. I see.
Right. I mean, if the SOCOP people were here at the meeting, this would have been sort of the critical. This instance has been down since October 26th, and we have not been able to restore it yet. I can't do anything because Xinya is traveling, and I don't know if Ken can do anything until Tejas is back, because both of them are traveling. And from the CIM3 point of view, I don't get a meeting with Xinya until next Monday. And the same thing with Tejas. He is in India and isn't back until next Monday. And we restarted the repository, and it worked for a little while, and then it sort of went bad again. And according to Paul Alexander, the front end isn't connecting to the back end. But this instance essentially is exactly the same as the sandbox and the test instance. So we have four instances. Three of them are working, and this particular one isn't working. And no one is looking at it unless Ken is at this point. So it's been down since late October, which is terrible. I mean, if this were production, we would all be fired. So what can we do? And also, even from BioPortal standards, from a sort of BioPortal point of view, we are about two revision levels behind. And they are coming up with a new VM distribution in the next month or two, which will be very major. So we will have to talk about when they come up with the new VM, are we going to that, which obviously has huge improvements, both feature-wise and development-wise in the code base, whether we go for that. If we do, how and who? I was at the Ontology Summit co-organizer meetings, and I already announced, at least pre-announce my retirement. So I'm thinking of retiring in maybe 6 to 12 months. So I'm actually paring down my activities and making a major effort to host multiple instances of OOR is actually a very questionable issue for me.
True.
Because, I mean, actually among the things I'm hosting, hosting OOR is actually the most expensive in terms of resources and time, and it's the most expensive and the least under control. It's totally not under control, to be honest. So I want to bring this up as at least a forewarning that we should really think hard about this, whether we still...
Who are the other stakeholders in SOCOP?
You mean person, Gary Burcross, yeah. Mike Dean. Essentially, the originally when the SOCOP NSF proposal was written up, I proposed that they should run an instance, and that proposal went in, and I had the cost associated with that. And when the proposal went in, the PI is Nancy Wiegand. Nancy either she had to trim down the budget or something, took that out, so they weren't going to run it. But then Mike Dean supported them and said, I mean, let's keep it in, and he will support it. And so they kept on. And then when the NSF grant came out, Mike had some trouble and asked if I would still host it. And in support of Mike, I said, I will. And so I hosted that. On a pro bono basis instead of BBN, but Mike is supposed to provide the technical support, but of course Mike is having health issues, so, and of course the general OR support is here with Ken's team and Tejas and Shinya, who is on my team, CIM3 team. So, things are getting out of hand. Gary Burcross obviously is not in a position to restore the infrastructure. So, if anyone, I mean, that would be between Ken, Tejas, Shinya, Mike Dean, and myself.
Well, how is maintaining SOCOP different from the sandbox?
It shouldn't. That's exactly why I still don't understand why it is not working.
Mm.
But of course, I mean, since BioPortal is a very researchy, experimental, brittle type of software, I mean, anything could happen, and especially we are not running the latest revision levels, so there may be bugs that they have already fixed that we are still living with.
Mm.
The problem is there's no easy way to upgrade on revision levels. The BioPortal people know enough about it that they wouldn't even try. They would only say, we'll distribute a new revision, and then the whole revision is packaged in the virtual machine. You can't sort of, I mean, bring up the revision level by installing patches or some or things.
Mm.
And to debug them, I mean, if it were a bug, we will almost have to sort of become bioportal developers, which we really don't have that kind of resources because we are not really coding. I mean, if we had a parallel development team that are constantly coding, like with Pearl's team coding onto Hub, then it might not have been that difficult. But we don't. We only have sort of the sysadmin team there, supposedly running and maintaining and keeping up the infrastructure, not debugging software. So I guess the parallel is like,
yeah,
like Michael. I mean, if there's a subversion problem, then you can't solve the subversion problem.
Right.
In Colori. That's exactly the type of issue we are at.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, they do produce a lot of software at the, you know, the BioPortal at the MCDO, but actually using any of that software for any other purpose is really difficult. I asked them about some software that they had produced, and they said, sure, we have it available, you know, you just download it and everything. I got it, and there was just no obvious way that one could extract the software from that virtual machine. I mean, in theory, I suppose it's there. In fact, it's so deeply embedded in everything else that repurposing it for some other, you know, use is effectively impossible. I think that's where we're hitting, like you say. I mean, it's not really designed for what we're using it for.
Because, I mean, they have a totally different purpose than we do. They are not out there to produce an OR.
Right.
Yeah. We are, and we don't have the kind of resources they have.
Or even producing open source software, for that matter.
Exactly. Or even producing production software. Generic production software. And they want BioPortal to be production.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, when you look at the software, it's so deeply, everything about BioPortal is so deeply embedded in it. You know, all of their, you know, like they will have this software that embeds web service calls back to their system. And there's no way you could extract that. You can't get it to go somewhere else. So you may think that you have your own copy when you're running out of your own machines. And this may be the difficulty that you're facing with SOCOP, is that at some point it's actually trying to use a BioPortal service that no longer exists.
Exactly. Yeah, because we are two or three versions behind. They might have moved on, and because we are using old software, it's still trying to call something that's the service that's no longer existing.
Yeah, that's my guess at what's happening here. It's trying to use a BioPortal service that they phased out. Because they embed a lot of these in the software. I've looked at their software. It's full of these things. You know, they just embed calls to their own system.
Yeah, you can't get the code independent of their packaging in as a VM.
Well, you can get the code, but if it's a million lines of code, what can you do?
It's just, yeah, it's such a large system, and they embed code. I mean, they embed code in their in Flash, you know?
Ouch.
So the embedded code in Flash that calls their own services.
Right.
You know, how are you going to do anything about that? Just try to figure out how to. I mean, you know, I tried to get the software from them that was embedded in that, and they were really reluctant to do it. Partly because they didn't even produce it. They contracted out to a different company to produce that software.
Not the company. I think you're probably referring to the things that were produced by the Canadians. Sorry, Michael. Who are no longer on the team.
Right. There's definitely. A lot of the Flash stuff went through the Canadians. And so it was embedding these calls to their own systems. But they, I understand they're trying to phase that out.
Right.
Maybe our vision level
is not working anymore. But the strange thing is, and Michael asked the right question, why is SOCOP not working and the other instances are still working? The only reason I can think of is maybe because SOCOP has a lot more ontologies in there, and maybe they are using more surfaces. Maybe different ontologies are calling up different surfaces.
Yeah, they're using features that the other instances are not currently using. Because people are just not using them. And they're using those features. And as I say, it's almost certainly some kind of embedded call to a web service that is no longer supported. Tracking that down would be really hard, but that's my guess.
There's another kind of long-term question. That's why Peter's raising this. Do we want to maintain two separate ones, or should SOCOP be merged with one of the current ones that's being more actively developed or kind of has more control? So like either the Sandbox or Module Hub or something like that.
My guess is if you try that, you'll just kill the other one. Because they are essentially identical systems. There's nothing in SOCOP that wouldn't be in one of the other ones.
So, in a way, the big question, Peter, you're raising is this dependence on BioPortal is causing some trouble in the end.
Not just that. I mean, I think the multiple questions. One, BioPortal has some issues. If we put our heart to it, we can still surmount those. Two, I'm retiring, and if I am not hosting, who is going to host? Three, SOCOP is down and we can't restore it, but the SOCOP NSF grant actually is running out. We are already in the fourth year of the third year of the three-year grant, so this is just the tail end of finishing up. And I don't even know if there is a follow-on grant, or even if there's a follow-on grant, whether SOCOP would want to run a repository, because now if you are close to the geospatial world, ESIP, I mean the group run by Peter Fox and RPI is probably the dominant player, and RPI has already teamed up with Stanford, and ESIP is running a repository, which eventually I think will be the that domain's version of BioPortal. GeoPortal or whatever. So,
and how is Gary related to that project?
I have no idea because I'm not in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but we did bring this up at so-called meetings a couple of times. I mean, there's no clear decision that's made. But personally, if you ask me, I doubt if they would continue to run. I mean, if it takes resources. I mean, if it's like the last few years when someone sort of offers it freely, then of course they wouldn't mind. But if it does take resources to support, I doubt if they would even be willing to come up with the resources, even if they get a grant on it.
They as an RPI or they as in SOCOP?
They as in SOCOP. Right. RPI, definitely. Yeah, RPI. Yeah, more recently I saw, I mean, RPI became the lead for, or at least Peter Fox's group became the lead on some of Earthcube mm-hmm. funding and a few things like that. So
would it make sense to get RPI more involved with OR?
I did try. Actually, Peter Fox was receptive to it mm-hmm. before. I mean, as you know, I mean, we did invite Peter Fox over on this, what do you call it? Earthcube
ontology. Earthcube.
So he is receptive. He and I had a couple of conversations before. So that's one possibility. And if they are running the BioPortal version of that and SOCOP sort of goes away, then we're left with, I mean, still asking, what do we do with the OOR version of BioPortal? Colore has a clear sort of plan and destiny, and so does OntoHub. So OOR position is dubious.
But in OR in general,
when I say the OR, I mean sort of generic OR instances. It's dubious.
Right.
Not OR as a concept. OR as a concept is great.
Yeah, well, I would say definitely we should do the best we can to work with this, with RPI and everything they're doing. If we're going to have to phase out the SOCOP OOR, then it would make sense to transfer those ontologies over to whatever they're setting up, whatever portal they're setting up.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea of OOR is it's supposed to be federated. We're supposed to be able to do this.
Right.
This would maybe be a good use case for OOR. So what happens when one repository has to be phased out and you have to transfer the ontologies over to a different repository? Presumably all those ontologies would still be available in the database. So we can you can access them and transfer them.
Yeah. So the short-term issue is next Monday. I mean, when I meet with Xinya, by the way, you guys may not have met Xinya. Xinya actually runs the CIM3 virtual infrastructure, the virtual machine infrastructure. Pages, who used to be Kent's student, is still helping us. He made the original sort of install from code installations of BioPortal. And then, of course, the later VM installation went to Xenia because it's a VM image that needs to be installed. But I guess between Tejas and Ken and Mike Dean, these are the three people who knows a little more about the insides of BioPortal, of the BioPortal code base than most of the others. So we'll try to fix that next Monday, but whether or not we run the SOCOP OR, whether we or not we run the BioPortal code based OR instances, I mean, should all be addressed at some time. I'll just document this. So there?
Oh, okay. So I have to go now. My next meeting, sir.
All right. Okay. I'll talk to you later at the Common Logic.
Yeah, in an hour.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Yes, we're running out of time now. So clearly we have a lot of issues we need to deal with. We'll have to get in touch with each other and see if we can resolve the SOCOP issue as soon as possible. So we address it next Monday. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I think we better adjourn if we have to get another meeting.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.